Psalm 82 is a psalm that should be carefully studied by everyone, especially by those who are in some leadership position where they're responsible to pass judgment on others. It's a very serious psalm because it assumes that people who make right judgments are very rare. This psalm is comprised of 8 verses, but they are powerful and important verses. When judgments must be made, they should be impartial and just, especially when those judgments pertain to God's people. And the one who is making the judgment needs to understand that those who are making the judgment will themselves be judged by God. We may observe that this is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph himself was a leader in worship. As a leader, there would have been times when he himself would have been involved in making judgments. So as he wrote this psalm, he probably thought very carefully about what he was writing. There's absolutely no doubt that judgments must be made in the context of life. A right judgment and a just judgment is of God. Parents must make judgments concerning their children. Teachers must make judgments concerning their students. Coaches must make judgments concerning their players. Management makes judgments concerning their employees. Judges make judgments in a variety of legal situations. And what all should realize is that God monitors judgments, and he expects that judgments would be impartial and fair. He will hold the one making the judgments responsible. So wise is the person who understands this point prior to making judgments. So first of all, God will judge all human judges and their judgments. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 82. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. The name for God in this verse is Elohim, which is the plural noun for God. This particular name, God, is plural, but you'll notice that third person singular verbs are used. The Hebrew reads, God, he takes his stand, and God, he judges. The text does not read, they take their stand, or they judge. What this shows us is that there is a Trinity, and the entire Trinity is involved in the judgment. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are three distinct persons, yet they are one God, and all three will be involved in judgment. Now, verses 1 and 6 are favorite verses of the Mormons. Verse 1 in Hebrew literally reads, God gives judgment in and among the gods. And verse 6 literally reads, you are gods. Mormons take these two verses and twist them to help build their devilish doctrine that says we all become gods. This, of course, is pure nonsense and heresy. And if the Mormons actually knew anything about the original languages, they would see the insanity of their interpretation. First, God does not say here, one may become a god. Both verse 1 and verse 6 indicate that the ones being addressed already held this position right then. It's clear when we carefully study the Bible that judgments were to be made in the presence of God, and the one who is making the judgment was in fact acting in behalf of God. Second, the context here is in regard to those God appointed to make judgments over others. A position of leadership is an entrusted from God position, and when one makes a judgment, he is functioning as a leader appointed by God and is actually functioning in a godlike capacity. It's like Romans 13, 3 and 4. Third, in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament Hebrew text, which is often cited by Jesus Christ when he was on the earth, there's an article with the noun God in verse 1 who takes his stand, but there's no article with either use of the noun gods. It's very important because what this means is that these verses are not saying these people were the God. They are saying that these judges are functioning in the character and quality of God when they are making their judgments. In other words, they are representing God when they make judgments concerning people. Whenever a person makes a judgment about sin, self, or society, it's a godly thing to do. Wise are the people who realize the serious weight and responsibility to make true judgments. And then God demands that judgments be just and impartial. Look at verses 2 through 4. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. There are many passages that reinforce this point throughout Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. And what happens so many times in this world is that partiality is shown to those who are wrong and those who do the wrong. Oftentimes, partiality is shown to the wicked people. Sila says to stop and think about that. For example, someone invents a lie and spreads a lie, and people believe the lie, and they must make some judgment as to whether to follow a liar or one who is factually true. God expects us to make judgments that are calls that are true and right. And in verses 3 and 4, there's a list of four classes of people who tend to get shortchanged when it comes to impartial judgment. Those who are weak are opposed to those who are strong. Those who are fatherless as opposed to those who come from good families. Those who are afflicted as opposed to those who aren't afflicted. And those who are needy as opposed to those who aren't needy. Typically speaking, the weak and the needy do not get a fair shake. If it comes down to a judgment call concerning them or some wealthy, famous, powerful, prestigious person, they're going to lose. That happens a lot. There's coaches who play the children of powerful people in schools, even though their team is losing. It's just how it works sometimes. There's sometimes where a youth director will play favorites, and they'll cater to a young family or a family of kids that have the parents have money and power. That's out of line, and I'm so blessed to be at a church where that is not the case. God expects judges to realize their own lack. Look at verse 5. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Apart from God, judgment would be colored, and the judges do not even see this or sense it. Apart from God, judges are in a dark fog. Judges in and of themselves do not know how to judge properly, and they're walking in darkness. There's two key principles involved in making proper judgments. Know what is right and then do what is right. And most people try to make judgments on their own. And when they do that, they are fools. They do not understand God's word or will. And even if they do, they will not admit it and they will not submit to what is right. God expects all to acknowledge their position. Verses 6 and 7. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Now, no matter how important or powerful the leader or judge may be, he is still just a man, and he will die as a man, and he will give an account to God. One may be the president or prime minister of a country or the head of a corporation. One may be some famous entrepreneur. The truth is, he's just a man, and he will die like a man, and he will give an account to God. And then God expects all to know that God will judge all. Look at verse 8. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. Notice there will come a judgment time for all the nations. God's judgment will come one day against all the nations. So before we make any judgment, we need to ask God to lead us and guide us so that we can clearly see all the facts. And we must realize that every responsible position that we have is an entrustment from God, and we are accountable to God. And we must realize that God will judge each of us justly and impartially.